Welcome back, y'all, and thank you so much for joining me for the talk with Almost PhD Andy. That's me. Last week, for those of y'all that tuned in and for those of y'all that didn't, you know, you said wrong for that. You all heard me talk so much about myself, and thank you so much for hanging in there with me. I really talked a lot about my identity, where it is that I come from, what it is that I have done in the psychology field in the past, what it is that I'm currently doing, and what I strive to do in the future. And so that really speaks a lot to part of my self-identity. And so I'm sure that a lot of you have begun to formulate somewhat your own perceptions of my identity. And we'll get to that in a minute. But before we do, in one of my didactic seminars recently, we had to complete this activity where we did a personal identity wheel and then a social identity wheel. And I will drop the links for those in the description box. You're welcome. And for those of you that are just listening, you can literally just ask Dr. Google for personal identity wheel or social identity wheel, and you'll get some different versions of those. And so for the personal identity wheel, there were different things like, what's your favorite song, birth order, what's your personal model? And then for the social identity wheel, it asks race, gender, sexual orientation, age. And of course, filling out those may be easier or harder for some people. What made it so hard for me was having to integrate the two in order to verbalize how those different social and personal identities make up your entire personal identity as a diverse individual or from a multicultural perspective. Y'all, like, it was really hard. I couldn't even really verbalize that for myself. For instance, starting off with the social identity piece, we have different visible and then invisible identities. I may identify as a Black woman, Belizean, bisexual. I am a God-fearing Christian woman. Yes, I'm in my late 20s. Hard cringe on that. Some of those might be visible identities. I'm sure someone seeing me walking in the street can be like, okay, yeah, that's a Black cisgender woman. But then another part of it might be more of an invisible identity. Like, I'm not expecting someone to come up to me and say, oh my gosh, you're bisexual. If they do, I would slowly back away because that is a little weird. Just a small little tangent. I laugh at that because, especially if you come from a Caribbean background like I do, coming out as LGBTQ+ to my family, not easy. A lot of them did not accept it. A lot of them still do not accept it. Honestly, at this point in my life, all I do is really just laugh at it. Because if I can't laugh at myself, then what can I laugh at? So honestly, if someone even would be coming up to me in the street yelling that to me, I would imagine it being a Caribbean person. Just being able to fill out that social identity wheel, that was one thing. And then thinking more so about my social roles that I hold within different spaces or personal roles that I hold within different spaces. It wasn't necessarily too difficult, more so when it comes to merging the two and being able to really verbalize that from a multicultural perspective. I really had a lot of difficulty with that. And something that I want you all to think about is that is okay. We are multifaceted individuals. We are multicultural beings. We're multi-complex beings. So I don't want anyone to think you have to have it all figured out right now. You have to know exactly who you are, exactly where you're going. You can't ever be lost. No, that is exactly why we're here. That's why we're having this talk. That's why you're tuned into my podcast. Duh. It is not something to be ashamed of or to be worried about if you do have any of these questions about yourself. For those that they feel like they have all of the answers and they know everything, if someone came up to you right now, they were like, who are you? What is your identity? And you can answer clear cut, no questions in your mind, extremely succinct and straightforward. Congratulations, you are what we call in Maslow's hierarchy of needs, self-actualized. And that is literally being at the highest form of yourself. And that is something that really little to no people in life ever achieve. If you're someone that has been able to do that, I want you to hit me up and come. I want to see that in person. For everyone else who is still in the everyday struggle, as Biggie would say, let's move on. Something that you all can do, and you can do it right now while you're listening to me, or you can save it in your pocket for a rainy day. It's an exercise that's called 20 statements. And basically, you would write down 20 I am statements. I don't even want you to think too hard about it. Literally, just anything that comes to mind. I'm not going to go through my entire 20 I am statements with you right now. First couple of things that come to mind: I am Black. I am a woman. I am a student. I am bisexual. I am loving. I am a bottle girl. I am single. And so those are just a couple of things that come to my mind. And for other people, it may look really different. But what that exercise is supposed to help you do, it basically is a social exercise that helps you look at your identities to realize different personality traits, different values, and different aspirations within identity formulation. So that's always just something that you can look at. And of course, they're always going to be ever-changing because we are ever-evolving, ever-changing beings. At this point, you all may have formed some different perceptions of who you think I am, even if you haven't met me. You saw me on my last episode. You're seeing how I am now. You're thinking certain things about me. I've had different people in life tell me that I am bougie. I've had people tell me that I am too independent. I've had people tell me that I'm a party girl because I work in nightlife. I've had people tell me that I'm too smart for my own good. Thanks, 20 plus years of school. Those have been some of the perceptions of other people that they have projected onto me and my identity of what it is that they think about me. I want you all to kind of take a moment and think about this. Think about what are some of the messages that you've gotten from other people in different spaces when it comes to what are they telling you about yourself? What are they projecting onto you? When I've heard these different messages, who do you think I've heard these messages from the most? And if you guessed men, ding, 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 you are absolutely right. So yes, it has been mainly men that have told me these things about myself, which is so interesting that they know me more than I apparently know myself. That is what is typically going to happen. It's typically going to be a majority group or population that is going to try and tell you about yourself or project their view of you onto you. When you all are thinking about these different messages you may be getting from others about your identity, I want you to also think about the different spaces or settings that you may be in. So whether it's within academia or at work, at home, within your relationships, whether intimate or platonic, what type of messages are you getting and who are you getting them from? And a lot of the times, it'll be from majority individuals. So whether that be men, white, or European people, if you're part of the LGBTQ plus community, whether that be heterosexual individuals, whether that be your superior or higher up, so a boss, supervisor, professor, teacher, parental figure, etc. Again, it's going to be a majority. Now, of course, if you've had a friend for 20 plus years and they're like, girl, you're not really like that, obviously, that's a different scenario. A lot of the times, if you are expressing certain behaviors, or if you're saying, I really feel like I'm like this, or I'm actually like this, and they're like, no, I think that you're like that, or actually, you should be doing this, then that is, again, their perception of you, their projection onto you. And that's something that is very important that I want you all to think about, because this ends up creating a misalignment within our self-identity. when we end up being misaligned within our self-identity, this can end up leading people to fall into a lot of facades or pretending to be like this or like that or pretending just to be someone that they're not. And so they end up getting called fake or different things like that. Whereas that person really just may not really know who they are, or they may not really know how they should act around the particular people that they are around at that time. So I want you all to think about reality TV, for instance. So thinking back to my day, I always think about the shows on VH1, the love shows specifically. Granted, while many of them may have been aspiring actresses and actors, and they did go on to get their own shows, I do feel like those particular reality shows were a bit more authentic. Nowadays, I feel like reality TV is just so scripted. We'll just be watching it, and I just really have to end up laughing because there is no way you're put in this particular situation when you are presented with this dilemma, you're going to react in this way, in real time. Come on now. You have to think about what is the context. A lot of the times, their production team, who ends up being their authoritative figures or other people on set, telling them, I need you to do X, Y, and Z in order for us to get more ratings. I need you to do this so that this can look more interesting. It ends up being just all about perception. And so now they have to end up falling into a facade or pretending, and there ends up causing that misalignment within your self-identity. Now, that ends up being one thing within a television show. Unfortunately, a lot of these people end up carrying those personas out into the real world. This ends up being why so many people are called fake and whatnot.
Why you always lying?
So I want you all to think about this, and we're going to move on into a cognitive behavioral framework. We're going to get real CBT here, and we're going to think about core beliefs. Core beliefs are really just what you think about your deep down most inner self. So how you view yourself, how you might view other people, how you might end up viewing the world. So for instance, I view myself as pretty competent. Other people might agree with me. They're like, all right, she has been to a couple of schools. She got a couple of degrees. I feel like she might have some brain power. But then I've had other people tell me that I'm incompetent because I end up working in nightlife or because I like to do certain activities. How does nightlife and intelligence correlate? I don't know. But when you all figure it out, you let me know. I never necessarily question, oh my gosh, am I competent? Am I smart? But some people might end up beginning to question that, and then that will cause them to have different emotions and feelings, and that will cause them to act in a different way. Your core beliefs can also end up affecting what is called your cognitive triad. So that is how our thoughts, our emotions, and our behaviors are all intercorrelated as well. My view of others, I'm from New York, I'm from the Bronx specifically. I do not necessarily go into situations automatically trusting other people. I kind of have my head on a swivel, feeling the situation out, feeling people out. I'm not super friendly. And so I've gotten pushback from other people saying, oh, you're mean, you're standoffish, you're isolating yourself. And that has started to cause me to wonder, damn, am I standoffish? Do I isolate in social settings? I really don't, because I am actually really one of the friendliest people I know. Trust me, I'll bring y'all around some real New Yorkers and you'll see what it's really like. As soon as I actually get to know you, I'm one of the biggest care bears ever. It's all about other people's perceptions of me being projected onto me. And then my view of the world, I'm not gonna lie, y'all. I've been a lot of places. I travel a lot, and so I love seeing different cultures. But right now within the world, especially with this person trying to run our country, the world sucks. It really does. And seldom am I going to get super socio-political on y'all, but it's just not a super happy place within our world right now. That is my view of it. Other majority figures might end up saying, oh, what do you mean? crime has reduced by so much. Education has gotten so much better. There are so many opportunities out there. I'm not necessarily sitting here questioning my belief about the world because that hasn't been my experience, what the majority group has experienced. But again, other individuals might be like, oh, you know what? Maybe they're right. And apparently, a lot of you have fallen for that because you all ended up voting for him. But anyway, we're going to move on. So that ends up being different core beliefs that people might have regarding themselves, others, and then the world. And these all intercorrelate. And then these all end up forming how you feel about yourself and ultimately your self-identity. And a lot of the times, these end up forming within childhood, and then they carry on throughout adolescence and then into adulthood. If you are constantly getting this pushback from different majority figures, and a lot of the times that can be your parents, that can be mentors or teachers, just whoever it is that is kind of seen as quote unquote above you within your environment at that time, you're going to really start to always have these questions in your mind about who is it that I'm supposed to be right now, or who is it that I should be within this particular setting or within this particular relationship. And you're always going to kind of feel misaligned at a point. For whoever is out there that has never had that question, who has never felt lost, they feel like, nah, I know exactly who I am. I got this. Can't nobody tell me who I am. And you have reached that self-actualization. Please comment below so we can get you on the show, because I got to see it to believe it, babe. And so just a little caveat that I also do want to mention as far as what I do as a mental health professional, because I do challenge people's core beliefs a lot within the therapeutic space. However, never am I projecting my own personal belief system or how I feel my clients should act or how I personally see them onto them. If they have a particular negative core belief, we address that. We end up looking at evidence for how that core belief might be changed. They bring that evidence to me. They also provide me with different alternative core beliefs that they can have. There's nothing that I am ever trying to project onto them. Just something that I want to bring up because I know that someone is going to end up commenting or coming into the conversation saying, oh, but isn't that what you end up doing in CBT? Nope, not today, Satan. Really, just the main takeaways that I want y'all to be able to grasp from this episode is thinking about your self-identity, those social roles, those personal roles, how you can really integrate the two to think about your multicultural and your diverse self within all of the different settings that you may be in. And then also thinking about others' perceptions of you and how much they get projected onto you, how much pushback you end up getting from really just trying to express your most natural and authentic self, and then how that ends up making you question, who am I? Should I actually be this person? Am I really this person? Should I act this way? And then you end up at times maybe falling into some kind of facade, or maybe not necessarily acting like your full self when you're around certain people because of that. I thank you all so much for joining me for another episode. I'll see you next time.